Welcome back to the Humans of ID podcast with a twist, Careers and Professional Development Edition, hosted by the Department of International Development at the London School of Economics and Political Science, ID Student Organizers, Careers and Professional Team. In this episode, I will be joined by LSE Professor Dr. Amr Al-Ghazi. Dr. Amr Al-Ghazi is an associate professor in the Department of Media and Communications at the LSE. Within academia, his research delves into the geopolitics of global communication amidst changes in the media and popular culture. In this, he explores how narratives shape our understanding of time, memory, and our recollection, particularly looking at the Middle East and North Africa. His impressive body of work has been featured in leading communication journals like the Communication Theory Journalism and the International Journal of Communication. Beyond academia, he lends his expertise as an editor to the Middle East Journal of Culture and Communication, and he also frequents X as one of my personal favorite tweeters. So without further ado, my name is Razan Awad, and I'm your podcast host for this episode, and I'm here with Dr. Al-Ghazi. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
We are so thrilled to have the opportunity to talk with you today, given your outstanding and multifaceted professional experience in academia and beyond. So without further ado, let's jump right in. As some of our audience may not have had the pleasure of being taught by you, can you tell us a little bit about what drove you to pursue a career in this path and how you became a lecturer at the LSE?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for hosting me. Well, in terms of my career, I started as a journalist, actually, not as an academic, but even when I did my undergrad, I knew that I'm interested in media communication, but I wasn't sure what exactly should I do with it. So in my undergrad, I studied communication arts with a focus on production. So that was in Lebanon, in Beirut, at the Lebanese American University. And I, like, part of that degree was to direct a film, a play, and a documentary, and kind of try the more production side, which I enjoyed, but I saw that I was actually more drawn to theory and to kind of thinking theoretically about media rather than actually kind of going into the production route. I did a master's after that in international communication, but I then pursued a career in journalism. So I worked for an Arabic daily, which was called Al Hayat. I think it had to close down because a lot of print media are under a lot of funding pressure. But anyway, it was one of the major pan-Arab newspapers. So I worked for them in Beirut and in New York, and then I worked for the BBC for 3 years. But I still had that kind of underlying passion that I want more time to think and write. And so I then switched gears and pursued a PhD in communication at the University of Pennsylvania in the US. And that's kind of where I found more my rhythm, I guess, in terms of career preferences.
Okay, that's super impressive trajectory. And I really enjoy the fact that you changed a lot. But I was wondering, what were the main points of inspiration that motivated you to flip career paths?
Okay, yeah. So with communication, actually, it is a very interdisciplinary field. The discipline of communication is interested in processes of mediation. Part of that is obviously media, be it broadcast media, print media, or social media. But more broadly, it is the social science that's focused on how we communicate as a society. And so a lot of my colleagues, let's say, a lot of them would not have studied communication, but actually for me, I'm one of the rare ones who, from undergraduate studies until the PhD, it's been communication rather than anthropology or sociology or political science. So I think I've always been drawn to issues around representation, expression, agency, media. That's always been kind of my intellectual passion and career path. I, as I mentioned, tried kind of the journalism route, and in my studies also kind of media production. But I found myself more drawn to academia. So my sources of inspiration, it is hard sometimes to articulate that, but I think it has to do with the geopolitics of communication. Growing up in the Middle East, I grew up in Lebanon and Syria, kind of politics and warfare, and has always been part of my life and upbringing, and kind of this mismatches between what happens on the ground, the way we talk about it, the different framings that conflict is subjected to in different spaces, political spaces, kind of within countries and across countries. So yeah, that's always been the questions that I'm drawn to.
I'm really interested by this point of representation that you said, and how this is kind of like a point of inspiration. And as a student who is interested in the MENA region and tries to implement it in my research, I noticed that academia doesn't always leave space for a lot of representation, particularly for the MENA region. For example, if it's in reading lists or it's in the classroom. But in your experience, what are some of the biggest challenges facing this type of academic inclusivity when it comes to the MENA region, and how do you think we can overcome mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, like for me, it's I think it's an intellectual question, and a question about pedagogy and teaching, because how can we understand the world from one vantage point, which is, let's say, Eurocentric or American centric or Anglo-American? The only way to understand the world and our position in it is to look at it from different perspectives and different vantage points, and consider what it means to look at the world, let's say, from Beirut, from Gaza, from Cairo, from Jakarta, and from London, New York. So, like, that's very important in my teaching, and I always in my classes draw on examples from all around the world, and pay attention also to the readings that I assign. What contexts are they grappling with? Because even with theory, we tend to think this is just kind of theoretical or philosophical, but any author is engaging with the world in whatever style they write. So it is a question of representation and inclusivity, but to me it's also a fundamental question about inquiry and intellect, because if we're partial when it comes to thinking of the world, we're partial in our thinking.
No, that's really important and super useful. But I want to also push back on this journalism experience. Could you tell us a little bit about that before, of course, you switch to academia?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for journalism, so you mean in terms of representation?
Representation, your experience, how you, I don't know, pursued this kind of inquiry in it. Did you feel like you had the space to explore ideas?
Okay, so in journalism, it's actually a very constraining environment and profession, because of course an individual journalist is subject to the editorial policy of the newspaper or the news organization that they work for, and so, like, there's actually not much space to deviate from kind of the editorial line, and it's always a challenge to pitch stories or to kind of challenge the news agenda of the organization you work for. And I think now these tensions are actually have exacerbated over the years because of funding pressures and kind of the entry of social media and the internet into the news ecology in kind of this massive way. And economically also, there are less jobs in journalism, so a lot of people going into journalism feel that they don't have a lot of choices in terms of where they work. So we have to, like, when we think on the individual level and career level, we have to also kind of be aware of the larger economic picture that's constraining. But even back then, when I was working, I found it very frustrating not to have kind of that freedom to write what I wanted, and the space actually to think more and to engage with the world on a deeper level, because with journalism, as you know, it's very constrained in time. There's such an emphasis on speed and you know, production and being the first, and so that's what's valued in journalism. And of course that comes at the expense of offering a more nuanced and more truthful account of the world.
I mean, just to touch on that, and you can also discuss your experience in academia, are there any personal experiences or anecdotes that have left a lasting impression on you?
In journalism?
Journalism, or? Academia, anything, you know, something that you, when you look back at your career, something that just stays with you, I guess.
Well, okay, in terms of, like, I think maybe something that it would be important for students to know, looking back at my career, a lot of shifts that happened, a lot of decisions that have happened, required kind of people supporting me, required a lot of luck, actually, but a lot of networks as well. To put yourself out there, to meet people, and even when you think about, let's say, your relationships with your fellow students, you really never know in 5-10 years who's going to be your colleague, who's going to be your boss. And so to engage part in education spaces in the world always kind of with that long-term thinking. Looking back at my career, I've had, for example, when I was doing my PhD, I had teachers who later became my boss, for example, maybe like journalist friends who we collaborated at a later stage, someone who wasn't very, like maybe a distant coworker who tells me about a work opportunity later. So I think relationships between people are very important. And for me, like it's kind of a balance between having the ambition of looking for that job that is, you know, your dream job, but also leaving the space for the unexpected, and leaving that space for being comfortable with uncertainty. So I think it's a balance between these two dispositions that worked well for me in my career.
And just like on the back of that, for those students that are interested in pursuing a career in academia, research, or journalism, what advice would you offer for gaining relevant experience and making a meaningful impact in the field?
Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would say is that we live in a great city, which is London, and there are so many opportunities here in London. Let's say from journalist clubs to a lot of events that happen, whether at LSE, at universities around. So there's really so much opportunity and exposure that on the one hand can be overwhelming, but I think to take advantage of that is really important. To be, everybody talks about networking, for example, and of course some of us are more comfortable in networking than others. But to put yourself out there, to talk to people, to engage with people, I think that is that's important to do, particularly in a city like London, and to be true to oneself as well, like not to have kind of a clear, especially when it comes to journalism and writing. As I said, there's a lot of pressure now. You know, it's very difficult actually to navigate politics in the world today, particularly with I don't know, I think everybody now is of course thinking about Gaza and the back of in everything that we do. And I know there's a lot of pressure, for example, not to speak out or to be silent, because you know, one is afraid that maybe they don't get that opportunity. First of all, I want to acknowledge that pressure, and I know that a lot of students would be thinking about that. But at the same time, I think it is important to be true to yourself, to your identity and your politics and moral framework, and not to compromise that, because ultimately, even though we talk about careers, like the most important thing is to be fulfilled as a person, to be human, to be in in solidarity with others, and we need to check our politics constantly in terms of that. Otherwise, you know, to be careerist becomes a very negative actually pursuit.
No, I really agree with you, and I think censorship is something that a lot of students are facing right now, and I wonder if this was a challenge you ever faced and how you overcame it.
Yes, these pressures are of course not new. Like even before I did my master's, so I started doing my master's in 2004. It was in the US. I was on a Fulbright scholarship, and this was in the aftermath of 9/11. There was a lot of pressure back then, in terms of, you know, there was the invasion of Iraq. So there is a history to this. And of course, when you're starting off, kind of your, like, one cannot but be worried about their career and thinking about their prospects in relation to that. But it's also important not to feel compromised at any point, because looking back at your life choices, it's really important to be proud of what you've done, and not to feel that at any point, for example, you compromised your moral framework for anyone or any job.
No, I agree, and I think this is an amazing piece of advice to give students. And just to kind of wrap up the podcast, if you had another piece of advice, guidance, inspiration that you wanted to share with the audience who are just starting out or seeking a path in this career, what would you say?
I would say situate yourself within a community, within a group of friends, because, you know, when we talk, let's say, about networking, it can be overwhelming to think like I need to network with the world, but it doesn't have to be that way. We need a community to support us, whether that be personally, also professionally, and academically, in whatever kind of context we are thinking about. So to reach out to allies and ask for advice. I think that's actually another really important aspect. A lot of the time, and looking back, not only in terms of my own personal story, but people around me, when one feels maybe as a level of insecurity, you don't want to share, or you don't want to seek advice, or you don't want, you know, like, let's say, from if applying to something, share your personal statement or your CV because, you know, you want to keep it to yourself. No, like, actually seek help and seek advice and reach out to people, because that is ultimately what will make you stand out and make, like, even if you have that one interview with a job you really want, prepare, practice, reach out to people in your community who you trust to kind of to prepare well. So that would be my advice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I will definitely take your advice, and we hope our listeners will too. Once again, thank you so much, Dr. Omar Al-Ghazi, for being our guest on the Humans of ID podcast, organized by the Department of International Development and hosted by LSE ID Student Organizers, Careers and Professional Development Team. Thanks to you, today we had the opportunity to delve into the world of academia and the prospects, insights, and challenges that can come up when navigating that field, as well as the world of journalism. We thank you so much, especially for your humanity and relatability. It's comforting, encouraging, and inspiring. I would also like to give a special thanks to all our listeners, the Department of International Development, Maya Bullen and Andrea Marino Mayo, all the ID student organizers behind this project, including Valentina Papu, my script co-editor, Michaela Levitt, the producer and editor, as well as Shiwani, our transcript editor and podcast manager. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or your preferred platform, and follow us at the LSE Department of International Development on Instagram and LinkedIn. Send us any comments, suggestions, questions, and thoughts on what you'd like to hear on the International Development link in bio, as we want to hear from you, and stay tuned for more of our best guests as we continue exploring further insights on how to start out in the development sector. This podcast will continue with special guests covering sectors on international organizations, government, NGOs, and think tanks. The next podcast will be a studio episode joined by LSE Professor Naila Kabir. Until next time, this has been your host, Rizan Awad.